Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew begins with a genealogy of Jesus going back to Abraham, a very Jewish genealogy. But yet in it you see glimpses of the greater truth that Jesus will be Savior of the world. Matthew chapter 28 ends, of course, with the command of Christ to his church, to his apostles, to make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the triune God and teaching them all things for all nations. That arc from Israel to the world is evident also in that short lesson we heard from Matthew chapter 8 today. A leper has faith in Jesus and is saved and is commanded to go show himself to the priests. And a centurion then has faith in Jesus and his servant is healed and the centurion is saved, that Jesus Christ has come to save all people. That many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yet, for rejection of Christ, there will be those who will be cast out as well. But this means that Jesus and his gospel, that we are received into God's good grace and favor when we believe in him who suffered and died for our sake, that we have the free gift of the forgiveness of every single one of all of our sins. That gospel is for you. That gospel is for Cheyenne. It's for Pine Bluffs. It's for Grover. It's for every place under the sun. And that fact should never escape our thoughts and our plans and our purpose as a congregation. If you're paying attention to the Old Testament lesson, you would of course know that God acts in kindness to all, foreshadowing his gospel being for all. You realize that God has authority over everything, including death and sicknesses, even leprosy for Naaman. That Naaman was given this promise by God through the prophet Elisha. And when healed, Naaman believed that promise and then later even confessed his own faith in the one true living God. If you've heard many sermons in your life, you know that oftentimes it'll be preached that leprosy, when we run into it in the scripture, is a great symbol. It's a great analogy for what happens to us spiritually as sinners. Lepers fail to feel the rotting that is going on. In the same way that when original sin goes on, that is, when we inherit it from our first parents, it is not felt. But it can only be believed from what God's Word reveals and what God's Word teaches. Whereas leprosy would cut a man off from the whole world around him, from family and friends and his church, his society, his community, all of it. Well, original sin has completely cut us off from God. For it renders us dead in our sins and trespasses. It makes us enemies of God and objects of his wrath. That is what sin brings. And every act of actual sin, of omission, not doing what you should, or commission, doing what you shouldn't, every one of those is nothing more than original sin acting out what it does. It's fruit, rotten fruit, from a rotten root system. Like limbs rotting and falling off a leper, the natural outer result is of the disease that is happening inside. With that in mind, we look at the first little story in that gospel lesson today. The leper. that this is a great lesson in who Jesus is. Many people think that if you could just prove that God exists, that would be good and that would help. But the fact is that all creation already gives all evidence of that. And people's inability to acknowledge that God is God and creator over all things is more a reflection on their own spiritual blindness, their animosity towards God, their being indeed dead in sins and trespasses. But some think that if we could just prove God exists, that would somehow help them. But knowing that God exists is not enough, however. That is really not even the most important question. It's not what God exists, he does. But what does God think of you? That's the more important question. You see, the devil knows God exists, and that doesn't help him one bit. And God does exist. But how does God regard you? This is ultimately the question of the leper. His actions and his words that day already confess that not only was there a God, but that he really believed Jesus was that God. He doesn't ask Jesus to ask God on his behalf. He just assumes that Jesus is God, that God can kill and make alive, that as the king of Israel had proclaimed, God can kill and alive, God can heal lepers and so forth. So he believes Jesus is God, and that because Jesus is God, curing something like even leprosy, something that didn't have a cure until the 1980s, was not outside of what Jesus could do. That God can do anything. He's almighty. Jesus is almighty. But the question is, how does Jesus regard this leper? What does Jesus think is best for this leper? If you will, you can make me clean. That Jesus is God, he is almighty, all-powerful. The worst diseases and even death itself can be undone by him. So the question is, what does Jesus want to do? And the text today gives us the answer. I will be clean. Mark's gospel has an account of this, and it teaches that it adds the fact that Jesus acted here from compassion for the man. And so from the will of wanting to help, the compassion of knowing this man's needs and knowing the situation he was in and how he'd be separated from everything else and the pity that comes to that, that motivating that will, and then added to the fact that he has power by even his almighty word, Jesus then heals the man. That even he in his divine flesh touches the leper. A shocking and forbidden thing. But God has compassion for the sick and the needy. And this teaches us a lot about God. That though we are dead in our sins and trespasses, enemies of God, under the wrath of God, God is full of compassion. That Christ Jesus is that compassion. That this in Christ is exactly how God loved the world, by sending his only begotten Son, that the world would not perish, but by believing in the Son, they would have eternal life. That this is the will of God on full display. That God wants people to be in heaven. He wants them to have eternal life. It is the revelation of Holy Scripture that enlightens our every thought about God, our every experience of life with God, our every prayer to God, our every suffering, our every trial while under God's fatherly tender care and provision. What does God will for you? For you to be saved. For you to have the forgiveness of all your sins. For you to not fall into anything that would rob you of such a gift or cause others to do the same. This fact, our eternal life earned by Christ and given to us by Christ, is what everything in this life is ordered around. It is why we live the lives that we've been given to live. It's why we do good unto all, especially the household of faith. It's why we confess our sins to God and to each other, knowing that such a confession is part of this eternal life lived out in this earthly life for a time, that God wants, that God wills for our sins to be forgiven, that God wants, God wills for us to believe the gospel, that for Christ's sake your sins are put away from you, that you will recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is his ultimate will. So when we ponder God, when we ponder Jesus, and that's where we go to know about God, because Jesus reveals God's will. Jesus reveals eternal life. When we pray to God, we understand that when we pray for spiritual matters, we can pray with certainty, because God has revealed his saving will. And when we pray for earthly matters, we pray like this leper did, saying, "If you will," with certainty, not that God will do exactly what we're asking, whether he'll give this or that thing, but we pray with certainty that whatever God does in answer to our prayers, whatever God allows to happen to us in answer to our prayers, that that is going to be the best thing for us for eternal life. That trust, that certainty, being the antidote for our sinful flesh that wants to accuse God of wrongdoing, of not caring, or of sinfully believing that if we were God, or if our will was done, it would be far better for us than what God does. This is what Jesus teaches us to pray when he teaches us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That the good and gracious will of God is done. It will be done. But we pray that it may be done among us also. That this involves God undoing the works of the devil, as Christ came to do to defeat the works of the devil, of God breaking and hindering every evil plan and purpose of that devil who wants us to not be in heaven and will do whatever he can to make sure that happens. The world which works underneath the devil to use every pressure and distraction and deception to achieve the same end. And even our sinful flesh. That rotten spiritual leprosy in us that does not want us to hallow God's name nor let his kingdom come. And we pray that for the good and gracious will of God. That is, that we would be strengthened and we would be kept firm in this word and faith until we die. Which, of course, for the one who has faith in Jesus, means God's will of heaven and eternal life. We pray that the good and gracious will of God be done for us. You see, that's what Jesus proved for the leper that day. Yeah, he's God. Yeah, he can help. But he also wants to help. But the leper's faith in Jesus was strengthened that day. He was kept that day. The worship which he did towards Jesus, bowing down before him, was greater after the work of Jesus in his life that day. That his eternal life was made more certain to him by that same faith in Jesus that day. Today you have received healing from that invisible leprosy which has infected and corrupted you, your sin. You confessed it, I, a poor, miserable sinner. You confess that scriptural fact, a fact then that you believe, that Christians, you, are sinners. But you are sinners who know who God is, what God can do, what God has already done, and what God wants to do. That God wants to forgive your sins. That you would, by the word of God, in holy absolution, in hymns, in sermon, in scripture, in the body and the blood of the Lord's Supper, that you would be strengthened in word and faith until you die. Because dying a blessed end, that is, dying when you believe in Jesus, just means eternal life to come. That is God's will. And knowing that your greatest need, according to God, who knows all things, your greatest need is indeed taken care of by Jesus, then we can ask absolutely, as dear children, ask our dear Heavenly Father with all boldness and confidence, because he has promised to hear our prayers, and we can ask for all things. Confidently knowing that he will do what is eternally best for us, even when we pray for earthly things. That he will certainly do what is best for us for our salvation's sake, when he answers every one of our prayers. That those concerns that turn into prayers about our families or friends, our job, our health, loved one's health, for our government, for the condition of our country, our culture, our society, the state of the kingdoms of the world, for the disasters going on around us, and yes, whether or not this specific pastor is to be the next pastor here. All of these are in our loving Father's good care, according to his will, that he knows exactly what is best for each and every one of us, and for our eternal life. And so by our trust in him, we submit to his good and gracious will. And this is why the epistle then encourages us to live at peace as much as it depends upon us, knowing that God will handle every wrong that is done to us. And in the meantime, we can overcome evil with good. Good that we've first had done to us, and good then that we've learned from our God, who not only exists, who not only has all power, but our God who has shown his good and gracious will towards us in Christ. Both a Jew and a Gentile today show great faith in Jesus in that gospel lesson. That Jesus is true God, he is able to help by the very power of his divine word. That Jesus is true Savior. That he wants to help. He wills to help by that very same word. May God grant that you trust that. And may God grant that everyone, all who hear it, trust it as well. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.